Off the Ball, GAA.
2 years of hurt, it's a genuine thing, like, Joe. They were a long 2 years. Yeah, it's hard to put into words, really, but I suppose when we came back at the start of this year, it just felt like there was something different, Joe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Dara McNaughton is here in producer form. Hello, Dara. How are you? Are you well?
I'm very well.
You look very well. You seem
very
well. Shane Hannan is here. How are you, Shane?
Good morning. How are things?
Are you well?
I'm flying this morning, yeah.
We have a few garments as well that we can share throughout this day. Because what is today?
Today's Jersey Day in the Barrow Media offices.
Mm-hmm. County Colours.
County Colours. That,
yeah. That's right. It is County Colours.
So obviously, we are desperately searching for jerseys in the office here. For you, Colm, I have this lovely Dublin jersey.
Mm.
If you can see it on camera. As a
thank you so
person
much.
Not living in Dublin, and of course we have Jim Gavin coming into the studio later on.
Yep.
So this is for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to wear the Galway jersey.
Mm.
I am half Galway, I have a lot of Galway family.
Yeah.
So
you wear that one.
Should we put them on?
Yeah.
Should we put them on?
Yeah, man, there, yeah, absolutely. And while you're doing that,
we'd
like to introduce to the show, for the very first time, making his Off the Ball breakfast debut, it's Mark Walsh. Mark, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. You were at the Shells game last night.
Yeah,
very exciting in Europe. What happened?
Shells kind of, they turned up, which was a good start, you know. They haven't really been at the races at all this season. It was a good atmosphere. Everyone got behind the team.
Mm-hmm.
John Russell was there.
He's only got 11 days in the job, is he?
Yeah. Bad start. I heard someone, I forget who it was now, someone said he didn't exactly hit the ground running, he hit the ground falling. couldn't be more true, like, you know.
Yeah, because it was for people who missed it last weekend, because there was so much on. That was the FAI Cup defeat.
Yeah, against Kerry, like,
on penalties.
Two ahead in the shootout, and then to...
I didn't know that they were two ahead in the shootout.
Yeah, two ahead in the shootout to go and lose it, like, so... That was incredible, but no, last night was brilliant. Now, albeit Caillou, or I think it's Caillou or Caldew, mm-hmm. the Estonian opposition, I think they're fourth in the league at the moment, but they weren't great now, to be honest.
5-2 was some result.
5-2, yeah. Seven goal thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in all honesty, I think Shelburne probably should have won about 7 or 8-0,
wow.
maybe.
Okay.
Like, they actually had a fella up front, and he was decent enough. Like, he was strong, he was fast, he got in behind, he scored the only two goals that they scored. Like, so he was kind of all they really had to offer. But now Shelburne were kind of slightly wasteful, but they were impressive enough.
Mm. So it's a 3-goal advantage taking into the second leg. This is the Conference League third qualifying round. Derry City played last night too, but they lost 1-0 away.
Yeah, they lost to Rijeka away.
Yeah.
Yeah, Derry be plucky enough. Ellis Chapman, who's gone there from Shelburne, he's obviously had a very torrid time at Shelburne, but he's gone over to Derry and he's hit the ground running, and he's been very good. But, you know, 1-0 isn't the worst for Derry. Like,
yeah.
I think Derry are really, they're a really plucky side, and they could definitely, you know, I could definitely see them coming around and getting a 1-0 win in regular time at the Brandywell to bring it to extra time, you know. It's a good standpoint for League of Ireland teams at the moment in Europe.
Definitely, yeah.
Take Rovers out of it at the moment, but they're still in Champions League qualifying, so they'll drop into Europa League, obviously, if they don't progress.
So going back to this game last night that you were at the Shells match, so it's a brace from Sean Moore.
Mm.
And Rodrigo Freitas, Eddie Coote and Daniel Rigg got the other goals.
Yeah, so Freitas, obviously, he tapped it in for 1-0. I think it was only about the second minute or that.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really quick. And then we got two in kind of quick succession. Then Sean Moore turned around. He was provider for the first goal. He beat the man and gave it to Freitas for a handy tap in. And then for the second goal, then Sean Moore turned up again. He scored. He was really impressive last night. He's barely played since signing. We signed him from West Ham. I think he was playing in the academy at West Ham. Didn't really catch a break, injured all the time. Actually went down injured last night and went off, which is a shame, like, because he was really impressive. Didn't really see him a whole lot under Joey. You know, probably not Joey's fault now, in fairness. I don't think he was that available either. But he was really good last night. And then one that I want to mention was Dan Ring, who came on the 80th minute. Really pleased to see him score, as was the whole Riverside and I think the whole of the league, to be honest, because Dan Ring has been a prodigy almost. at underage. Like he, I think it was the Mark Farren Cup 2024, which is like under 17. He was 16 and they beat, I think it was Kerry 4-1 in the final. He got man of the match. And then later on that day, I remember Shells were playing Rovers. And I think it was one of Duffer's last games. And we lost, but we were very low on numbers. And Dan Ring also came on in that game. He was only 16, like, you know. So he was on loan at Bray this season. And we only recalled him there the last day. People were kind of saying maybe it's the wrong move or, you know, it's too soon for him. But he's actually filled out a lot and he kind of started to hit the ground running at Bray. I can kind of see where people are coming from. But to be honest, I think if you're old enough or you're good enough, you're old enough. Like, you know, he's 19 now. As I said, he's filled out. He got a good goal last night. He had another chance. He probably could have had two goals, to be honest. But like, look at it, it's only his first start. He's after getting a goal in his first European game. You can't ask for much more. And yeah, really, really promising stuff from him.
It's a hell of a time to be a Shelburne fan, isn't it? In the last couple of years alone.
Yeah. Hell of a time.
And poor Ross Flanagan outside.
Yeah.
Through the ringer.
I wouldn't have the same plethora of knowledge as Ross now. He'd be a bit of a salmon of knowledge floating around the riverside there. Jumps out of the top.
It's one of those things though, with being a Shells fan now, it's like, are you more alive, you know, when things are up and down? Like, is it actually the best time to be a football fan if your team is getting relegated and you're getting promoted? And Shells is kind of like that, that it, you had this high of winning the league and you lose Duffer and you go to, and, you know, things go in a downward spiral a little bit for a little while. But now, maybe John Russell is the man to...
I don't think, to be honest, like, if we ended up floating around mid-table and that, like, that's, it's not the end of the world.
No.
Like, it wasn't that long ago that we were floating around the first division, you know? So, I mean...
You know, we're talking about Mayo now. Predominantly in the show today about like, oh geez, I wonder, you know, is it a year too early and everyone's writing them off and that. To a lesser extent, it felt like that and Shelburne won the league under Damien Duff in 2024. Yeah. It was like, where has this come from?
Yeah, Shells were, what were they, 16-1 or something to win the league that season. Yeah. Like, massive, massive. And no one's done it since either. Like, you know, I'm not coming on, obviously I'm biased, but like I'm not coming on to shove it down everyone's throat, but no one else is competing with Rovers at all. Like, we completely came out of nowhere. And
Well, it's funny you say it. Like, looking at the league table here, and we'll speak more in depth with Owen Heary about this later on in the show. The closest contenders to Shamrock Rovers right now, it's Bowes, seven points behind. And Bowes, you know, do not have the reputation to be good down the stretch when it comes to it. Ultimately,
if you're
going to be brutal about it,
Now
Pats do have a game in hand behind Bowes, and if they win that, then they'd be 5 points behind Rovers.
Yeah,
but again,
with
Pats, they're so inconsistent.
Yeah,
or Shells are down fifth.
Yeah, and like Shells are doing really well considering they lost Harry Wood, who arguably is one of the best players in the league. Like, yeah, massive. And like people kind of thought like maybe we might hold on to him or whatever, but you know, there's agents and all that kind of crack in the league, and you don't really know what way that works. And he's gone anyhow. He's gone to Stockport, and I was very worried because like everything, and I mean everything, went through him. Like, he's super player. He'd beat a team on his own, but I mean, ultimately, maybe it's a good thing. We're probably too reliant on him and we need to move in the right direction. John Russell's obviously come in and now we're playing, I think it was a kind of 4-4-2 last night. Like, the strikers aren't as isolated as they were under Joey. And it's really impressive stuff. But look, at the end of the day, it's Caillou. It's the first game apart from the Kerry game. So, I mean, there's still a lot more to come. Probably going to have to get top three to get Europe. Can't see us getting past Ajax in the next round.
Ajax, well.
So I don't know. Be good. Yeah, great experience. But I'm not sure if we'll progress any further.
Yeah. One last one for me on this. Was the atmosphere decent last night?
Well, I think it was anyhow. I thought it was very good. As I was saying before the game, everyone got behind the team and all that kind of crack. It was a really good atmosphere. I was saying to you outside there that we didn't sell out, obviously. I think it was just under 3,500. So, like, it was still very good atmosphere. Caillou obviously had no away fans. And the Ballybock end was empty last night. So, I mean, that does obviously suck a small bit of the atmosphere out. But, yeah, no, I thought it was fairly decent now. And the new stand in Tolka has obviously added a lot. In terms of atmosphere and in terms of facilities as well, like, it's obviously all about improving the facilities in the league and that. And showing off, like showcasing what we have. So it was a decent atmosphere, decent.
Good stuff, Mark. So Shelburne win 5-2 last night against Callioo in Europe to take into the second leg. And tonight we have live commentary as well of St Patrick's Athletics versus Dundalk, the sole Premier Division game in the League of Ireland. Today with Stephen Doyle and Richie Towle. Mark, thanks a mil. Great debut there on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Thanks.
We'll turn our attention to the All-Ireland Football Final, of course. First, here's Jack Carney speaking to our own Jonathan Higgins about the freedom that Andy Moran has allowed the players when taking two-point shots.
One of the areas that's very noticeable, just look at the nuts and bolts of the figures, it's almost black and white in terms of 2 points are scored this year compared to last year, and it probably mirrors on what we've just spoke about there. You've got a few yourself, something you have an eye for?
Yeah, I've got a few. I've missed a fair few as well, but yeah, look, it's between repetition and practicing them and training, and then the trust and the faith that Andy, the management team, and teammates give to those players that are entrusted to take them. I think that kind of combination has really worked well for us. That players are trusted to take them, and if they miss, they've gained the right to take another one and another one after that. So yeah, I think the combination between both of those things have really improved that 2-point shooting, and it probably just makes the game far more enjoyable to be able to express yourself again like that. So yeah,
speaks very well.
He does. Mm, he does.
Only, I think he's 25.
Yeah,
and he's had a breakout season this season, hasn't he? Yeah, he's one of those players when you watch him, you're just like, he has something about him, doesn't he?
Big unit.
There's something about him. Big lad, but just a quality footballer. Reminds me a little bit of Michael Langan. Don't you get
off?
Yeah,
yeah. A little bit. Langwood.
Those
style.
Vibes. Yes. Yeah, just a Michael classy Langwood, player,
yeah.
You know?
Michael Langwood, yeah.
Yeah, just a classy footballer.
Yeah,
yeah. He's going to be massive now for them. If they are to go and rattle Kerry, he has to be on his top form.
So most people are thinking this is going to be a Kerry victory, not quite a foregone conclusion, but there's newspaper headlines today that says why are Kerry so cocky, essentially.
Yeah.
And you know, Jack Connor's never gone two in a row. That's a big motivation if he likes those type of things. So most people, I think, Shane, it's fair to say, most people are walking around here thinking this is definitely going to be a Kerry victory, but not everyone.
No. Dara, what were your thoughts?
Like, are you willing to share this, Kerry, on the airwaves?
100%, because I don't think it's, in my mind, it's not controversial
exactly,
whatsoever.
Exactly.
I think Kerry are an amazing team, and I think it's a bit of a dynasty of sorts. I'm just not a fan of the whole unbeatable talk and the way some people have been talking in the papers and on certain shows and podcasts about them. You know, I can only see it going one way. Mm. I think it's a big disservice to Mayo in general, but you know, I was at the quarterfinal against Tyrone, and that was a great game of football. I thought Tyrone played very well, and that they got unlucky with a few different calls, and
very unlucky.
They did. Yeah. Like, and that gets lost, and history won't talk about that. But that's what happened in the game of football. And Kerry, you know, I don't think it was a testament to them that they got through it. I think, you know, they won the game in fair play, and they closed it down down the stretch. But I don't think it was a classic quarterfinal performance for a so-called unbeatable team. And then the Dublin semi-final, a few things obviously go their way again, which, look, that is sport, but I think it's worth mentioning. With Mayo, I really see them as, you know, it's a young team, right? So, you know, we talk about maybe it's a year early, whatever else, fair enough. But I think we're underestimating how good of a coach Andy Moran is.
Yep.
We look at him as a former player, and he's kind of new to his coaching career, but he's been in Leitrim, he's been in Monaghan. He's understudied at this point, and he's gathered that experience. And the reason they blew Louth out of the water was because of the game plan they had. And Louth were off the back of a really, really dominant performance in the previous round. And Mayo just completely nullified what they were doing in midfield. Now, look, they're down one or two players. That didn't help. But the way they dissected what Louth did off the kick out and just completely made, not completely, but they really made their kick out game null and void. I just think we focus too much on matchups for my liking. Like, it's become such a big thing this season. And fair enough, like, it obviously does matter within the game, but we focus too much on names and, like, you know, your David Clifford, your Paddy Clifford, who's going to mark them. I think we forget one thing, is that it's a game of football, and it's a one-off game of football. Anything can happen, literally anything can happen. And I just think Mayo are a much better team than people are letting on. And, you know, we talk about Andy Moore and letting the pressure off the players coming into this game with that post-match press conference in the semi-final. And I think that is going to, that will pay dividends to them as well. I'm not convinced that Kerry are this unbeatable titan of a team whatsoever.
Go on, say it. Mayo by 10. Say it.
I see Mayo winning this All-Ireland final.
Right. Big shout.
The more I think about it, and it's funny because it's a complete opposite of what Darragh said in the papers 2 days ago. The more I see it, the more I see a Mayo win. Look, I could obviously be wrong. There's every chance that Kerry go into this game and win by whatever, 8-10 points. Mm. I just don't see it that way.
Bookies have a spread of Kerry by 4, but I think the Andy Moran factor is a big one. Like, I haven't spoken to different members of the Monaghan team and backroom team when Moran was in there. Like, they spoke so highly of him. Like, he had a serious journey from Castlebar to Clahan for Monaghan training, and was the first man on the training pitch, last man to leave it. Like, his commitment to any cause in Leitrim, Monaghan, or now Mayo in his home county cannot be ever questioned. And that full forward line, like, people are saying in the build up the likes of Kobe and Dara Byrne, because of their age, maybe the occasion will get to them. But the occasion did not get to them in an All-Ireland semi-final, which is huge, you know, for Mayo to get over the line against that really good Louth team and dominate them the way they did. I don't think Kobe or Dara Byrne will be fazed whatsoever. When you have someone like Ryan O'Donoghue beside you, you have to nullify the ball into those lads, and I think Kerry will have a plan for that. But similarly on the other side, like, the reason why David Clifford is so dangerous is because he gets the supply from his brother and from others out the pitch. So it's more about the supply, I think. But it's a fascinating game. It is. Like, I don't know if there are, we spoke to a couple of Mayo people last night, have plans been put in place if Mayo win this?
We did, yeah.
Have Mayo people allowed themselves to think about the possibility that at 5:30, 5:15 on Sunday afternoon or evening, they could have won the All-Ireland?
It feels different to me in Mayo finals in our adult lifetime, even, right? Yeah. It's first in 5 years, but the Tyrone one in 2021 felt different because they had just slayed Dublin in the semi-finals.
Oh, it was like
was like, well, this finally they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But this one is like, I get the sense that everyone's like, Jesus Christ, Mayo are in the Ireland final.
Yeah.
It feels like they only should be in around the quarter or semi-final stage. It's just, not out of nowhere, obviously, but it just feels like, geez, they're actually in the decider.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is like year one of a 3 or 4 year, as they would call it these days, project under Andy Moran.
I remember watching the Mayo-Monaghan game earlier in the season, and it's like Mayo were 11 or 12 points up at half time in that game. And then Monaghan came back in the second half, ended up only losing by a point. But I remember after that game thinking, like, you could not have convinced me in any way that Mayo team were going to get to an All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
That's how funny this year has been, that they have just managed to build a little bit of momentum, good results. From that kind of... Because obviously they were battered by Roscommon.
That was their first game in 5 weeks after the Connacht semi-final, wasn't it? The Monaghan, and they flew out of the traps in Clonus, didn't they? And Monaghan brought it back.
Came back in the second half, They've just built something really,
they've gotten
really
better each game. Like, you think about the Tyrone game, I know they lost that in the end, but they were excellent.
But each game is true, right? But that's only since, the Tyrone game is a Niall Morgan 2-pointer at the end to win it, right? But the Meath game, like, they're 10 points down after 25 minutes against Meath in the do or die match.
Yeah.
But then they clock 15 in the second half. And then from that point on, like, the quarterfinal against Cork wasn't close. Like, they were clearly the better side and deserved to go through. But Cork had a load of missed shots in that match.
Yeah.
Load of them. I think it was into the teens, their wides, in that game. Where, funny enough, in the semi-final against Louth, which was a match that people found very difficult to call in advance, they battered them.
Mm. Like, it would be one of the greatest feats in modern Gaelic football. Like, because you think about where they were last year, you think about that Calvin game in Castlebar, they were pathetic.
Yeah.
And it's the same team, more or less, bar your Kobe's and your Dara Byrne's, but everyone else was at, Ryan O'Donoghue who was there, all the boys coming off the bench were there, and like, they have changed things. Like, Aidan O'Shea isn't getting a game these days, and I can't remember who was saying it there last week, but it's a testament to Andy Moran as well that he's managed to keep those players, like your Killian O'Connor's, your Aidan O'Shea's, happy and still in the cause, because it must be tough for them as well going on this road now, and they're not really involved on the pitch. I'm sure they have a big role to play as leaders behind the scenes, but that's I think Andy Moran, we probably won't rate him enough until he goes and wins something, I suppose. But like, what he's done this year is absolutely remarkable. Regardless of whether they win this final or not, no one's expecting them to. I just really think they have a chance here. Like, it's a game of football, lads. Like, why are we writing them off? Like, the people in the comments say there's no way they'll beat them. Why?
Well, Stephen Gavin here in the comments, like you mentioned there, Dara, just to pick one comment. Lads, he were saying the same about Donegal before the final last year. Big difference with Louth and Kerry in every way, history and quality. I was saying this to Sean Bon O'Sullivan yesterday and Donny Smith the day before. And we may even bring it up with Jim Gavin. It's an undeniable truth in the matter that let alone Kerry are more established and are the defending champions and all, they've also had a more challenging path to the final than Mayo.
True.
Like, it's all stacked in Kerry's favour here. Like, it's a great test of a really good Tyrone side and a competitive Dublin one versus an average Cork team and a Louth one that wasn't the same as the Louth we saw in the Leinster Championship. Mm.
By the way, people have been saying in the build-up, I've heard the narrative that, oh, there's no pressure on Mayo here, it's a free shot for Mayo.
You don't think so?
I don't buy that at all. I think Mayo should put pressure on themselves. A little bit of pressure is good for a team in a dressing room. Yeah. Like, there are no guarantees. So it's been 5 years, obviously, since Mayo were in an All-Ireland final. It could be another 5 years or more before they're in another one. The way football has gone, there are so many strong teams at the top.
Would you say that just because of the way football goes and there's loads of contenders next year, the Kobe factor there for you as well?
Well, that's a definite factor.
Like, but Darren Curran could step up next year. Then not the new Kobe, but Darren Curran could be the new prodigal son because he's kind of sharing the limelight. Yeah. But he's actually behind him in the limelight at the moment. Ryan Donoghue was only 5 points behind David Clifford.
Well, see, this is the thing. I think
for scoring this year,
Ryan. I think I mentioned on the show before. Like, Ryan O'Donoghue has had a lot on his shoulders over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, having to be the focal point of that Mayo attack. But now that he has two, you know, fellas that can score from anywhere at any point, either side of him, it seems to free them up. And he's the best player. I think he's Mayo's best player. But you wouldn't know it because he's just going about his business now. But like you say, he's 5 points behind David Clifford this year.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy. And the confidence he's playing with now, you think about the two-pointer at the end of the Louth game, didn't need to take it, but he said, hold on there, lads.
Loved it.
Get the Mayrishkas off the pitch. I want to take this.
It's great though. Like, All-Ireland football final. Like, I remember the first final I went to was the 2000 drawn final between Kerry and Galway. Mm-hmm. That was a Galway man. So, and I didn't have a ticket. It was just at the edge of that time where you could sneak in, sit in your dad's lap and watch the match. So managed to get in that way. But like, it just brings up so many memories of unbelievable finals past and present. Like, to be a Kerry or Mayo supporter, you know, walking down Jones's Road on Sunday afternoon, and the buzz, the pints beforehand, and the drive down the road as well. Like, it really is special. Like,
I love it. When you're talking there, Shane, I'm going back to my own memories. I'm sure you are too, Darren. I was like, I remember about 12 years old, going, oh, what's been older? It was the 2006 football final for Cork. We talked about with Sean Bon yesterday, and going up, and myself, my father, and his friend got out of the parked up. Dublin City Centre and looked up and it was a clear blue sky, and my dad's buddy goes, will we chance the wet gear? And we all laughed at him, and he was spot on because he knew Croke Park. We were up in the heavens and it was absolutely freezing and even though it was height of summer.
Yeah,
I loved that. It was those little mad, weird memories. And he'd like the pans of bread, he had loads of them in the boot of the car. It's a great time.
Yeah,
I'd never go to Croke Park without a jumper of some sort. Like.
Oh yeah,
I know. Yeah,
there's too much concrete. Like, it's just bound to be cold somewhere.
Yeah. What about this, Carlinho in the Philippines? Did you see this?
Nope.
He had a dream.
Oh,
I had a dream.
Mm.
Martin Luther.
Yeah, Kerry for that's a different guy, isn't it?
He created the press. Yeah, he created print. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No. Martin Luther was the German Reformation.
Yeah.
All right.
Created the printer. Well, not the printer.
Is that not Gutenberg?
Modern printer. He's a lot to answer for.
Martin Luther King. Yeah.
Martin Luther King is what Carlinho channeled overnight there in Philippines. I have lost that now. Where was that? Kerry for Sam in a realistic world. But I had a dream last night that Mayo won by 3 points.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Bookies have Kerry by 4, but Mayo by 3. Like,
I think that's a hell of a bet. Like,
it's quite close. Yeah.
4 points.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, lads. I like it. I like the Mayo shout. I want the competitive game as a neutral. I'm actually leaning towards Mayo.
Are you right?
Well, I cut the Holly.
I've convinced you.
I just want. I think Kerry are going to win handsomely. I think it's going to mirror the hurling final.
People in the comments give it, like, what? Do we think this is going to be a bit of a hammering if Kerry do win?
I think so. Yeah.
Kerry aren't hammering teams this year.
No. Yeah.
Like, where is this coming from?
I just think that they'll save the best to last, Limerick style.
I think people focus too much on names.
But names make up the team.
They absolutely do. But like, their last two games, they feasibly could have lost them.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah, but
Dublin, we talk about the calls and stuff as well, but there's also the fact that Dublin created more than enough chances to win that game and failed themselves.
Okay, but my answer to that would be, they nearly lost against, but they beat two good teams.
They did, yeah.
Who I would say, I'd argue Tyrone and Dublin on their day are better than Mayo.
Like, you can argue that, yeah. Like, I think it's tough.
That's where my head's going with the whole thing.
But no one was talking about Tyrone or Dublin winning the All-Ireland. Maybe Tyrone, people always have them as dark horses maybe. Every year. Well, but I mean, no one was talking about Dublin winning All-Ireland.
I think only a quarter of the sides made the semi-finals that people predicted at the start of 2026.
I think
people were expecting. Yeah. And certainly Donegal, maybe Armagh, and possibly like one last dance under Pádraig Joyce with Galway.
Mm.
Were they the four?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That most people had.
Stephen Gavin's mentioning the Armagh game. Yeah, that was a comprehensive. I think that's the best we saw Kerry all year long.
Turn the screw.
Maybe that in the Donegal first half. But barring that, like, they haven't been convincing. I was at the league final between them and Donegal, and I know that you're at that point in the season, you're not showing your hand too much. But they were blown out of the water that day in Croke Park. And look, you can't take too much from that fixture, as I say. I just don't think they've earned the right to be called, 10-point favourites or whatever people are saying. I just think it's a bit bizarre. I think Mayo are a really good football team. And they have, people talk about them being, it's a young team and, a year too early, all this type of crack. They don't play like a young team, though. Those two fellas up front do not play like young players.
No.
They've all the confidence in the world. So, I it's more than likely Kerry win this game. I really see. I see Mayo having a real chance.
The superstitions are out in force in Kerry as well.
Yeah.
See with the headlines this morning, the Kerry have obviously named their unchanged. I think.
Yes, sorry, 15. We should have mentioned that. Yeah, it's unchanged. Yeah. 15.
Unchanged team. We don't have the Mayo team as of yet. But yeah, David Clifford, acting captain, I suppose, with Paul Ganey named on the bench.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
No Kerry captain has ever won the All Ireland wearing the number 13 jersey on his
mad, isn't
amazing.
So they've given David Clifford, that is the number 14 jersey, and his brother Paddy picks up the number 13.
Right. I love that.
Back of the Irish Daily Mail that Shane mentioned there. Clifford skips the 13 jersey.
Makes sense. There's no point.
Do you think it makes sense?
There's no point messing with fate, because if you do this and then you lose, you're like, well, yeah, it was,
So David Clifford's captain because the captain Paul Ganey's on the bench.
Mm. Yes.
So then he takes it, he's switching up as a result, yeah. So Brina Bjoglik on the bench too.
Armin
Heinrich.
Strong, like obviously a strong bench.
Micheál Burns, as usual, will come on, recap.
They have a good strength and depth too, lads.
When you
look at their first four or five subs, they are strong.
Tommy Conroy coming off the bench,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean O'Shea starting.
Yeah.
Love to see that. I thought it was interesting, just a little nugget on the bench, that Tomás Kennedy was... he's number 18. Thomas Sullivan's 25. I just thought that was a bit weird. Ross Kennedy's generally 25 coming off the bench.
Best 2 days of Tour de France coming up.
Yes.
It says 50.
Alpe d'Huez. I don't know if you know about Alpe d'Huez, but it's probably the most famous climb in cycling. And
I've done it in spinning classes, actually. You know, the big spinning.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Fans will go up the night before and camp up there, and it's like a festival. There's videos on social media going around this morning of when cars pass through, because people drive up and park up and camp, it's like tradition that 50 lads jump in the car and start shaking it. You can't pass up Alpe d'Huez without having your car shaking. From an Irish perspective, I suppose Ben Healy's coming into form over the last few stages. He's been at the front of the race, getting into breakaways. His teammate Richard Carab has won the stage yesterday, so it's not likely he wins over the next couple of days, because this is a day for the big boys, your Pogacars, your Evenepoels, and a couple of the big GC leaders have dropped out due to various reasons over the last week or so. So it's likely a Pogacar win on Alpe d'Huez the next 2 days, I'd say.
Yep.
But it's an exciting time in Tour de France. I see Terry Kelly saying that Mont Ventoux is more iconic. I'm happy to take that debate, yeah.
Okay.
That's fair enough. Okay. I'm not going to argue that too much.
Yeah, still plenty of sport happening. So we have League of Ireland tonight and two games tomorrow. We have the All-Ireland Senior Camogie semi-finals, and we have the All-Ireland final, Tour de France, happening as well. But news broke this week in the world of GAA that's far more important than the sport itself.
Yeah, so the very sad news that the former Monaghan footballer Stephen Jinxie Golladley has passed away. I think Stephen was only in his early 40s. Tragic death, and it's kind of, it's news that has kind of rippled through Monaghan over the last couple of days when it started emerging that this was true. I would have grown up watching Jinxie play football. He was really an unbelievable footballer.
Yeah.
Said to you, he kind of reminded me of that Cavan, Key and Mackie sort of vibe, low centre of gravity. If he had possession of the ball, he wasn't losing it. Made his Monaghan debut in 2004, played all the way up until 2017, so 14 years in the Monaghan jersey. I'm just looking at some of the stats in terms of the number of appearances he would have had. 133 games for Monaghan, scored 371. like was a key cog on those Ulster winning teams in 2013 and 15, and won a couple of Division 2 National League titles, a Division 3 National League title as well. Carrickmacross Emmett's club man. And it's just tragic. Like, thinking about his wife Caroline and his children Ava and Shay and Grace and Sophie, and the late Chloe as well, his daughter, who died very young actually in 2020. So it's just a very, very tragic and sad story. And naturally enough, thoughts of everyone at Off the Ball is with his family and his friends and all those close to him, and everyone at Carrickmacross Emmett's and everyone associated with Monaghan GAA. It's just terribly sad news. Yeah,
lovely words. I'll just get you through a few headlines on the back page there to give you a sense of things. So Shell's There to Dream of Ajax tie, which Mark spoke with us about at the start of this morning's show. Same again for Kingdom as All-Star Ryan returns to the squad. It's a hell of a bench, as we mentioned, with the goalkeeping situation even alone. Kerry unchanged from the semi-final. We haven't in Mayo team yet. As soon as we do, we'll bring it to you. What else have we got? Leeds on the brink of signing €40 million City and England goalkeeper. This is James Trafford, who actually spoke out a couple of times last season about how disappointed he was about how things transpired from at Manchester City after they signed him, because he was initially the first choice goalkeeper, and then they got Gianluigi Donnarumma.
Oh yeah.
And he looks like he's on his way to Leeds. Did you see Leeds signed Harry Wilson from Fulham on a free transfer?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, I thought...
Bit of a weird one.
I thought he'd go to a bigger club than that. Harry Wilson had a collection of about 7 or 8 unbelievable goals in the last year alone. And he's not a forward, like a midfielder. Hell of a player.
Yeah, his YouTube highlights reel is pretty good.
And there's the story that Shane mentioned earlier. Clifford skips the 13 jersey. It's remarkable. I love all that stuff. Do you see Jack O'Connor insisting that billboard be taken down?
Bridesmaids
and bride thing from Mayo and Kerry. What do you think of that?
Andy always the bridesmaid, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I did think it was a little bit strange that Jack even bothered intervening. I do, like, it's a bit of crack. It's obviously a brand looking for attention, and it's got the attention that it wanted.
That's true.
Did you?
And
I think he said that himself, did he?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's not like it's something Kerry GAA have put up. Just accept it's a joke. It's a bit of a piss take, and I think it's meant in good jest towards Mayo as well. Like, it doesn't speak to the attitude of everyone in Kerry, I don't think. So I don't think Jack needed to intervene necessarily.
Thought it was interesting on the football pod that Tommy wasn't convinced that would be something Mayo would use, but James Donohue was like, absolutely going on the dressing room wall.
Do you think? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, fair.
Because they will use anything they can.
Yeah.
And I would wonder, I'd love to know Jack O'Connor's number one reason for wanting it taken down. Was it because he would be afraid that they'd use it, or was it disrespectful, or did he not just like seeing himself in a wedding dress? Because that would be my first thought.
Yeah, true.
One final one there before we take a break. Back of the Sun Sport, Tchouaméni. Linked with Manchester United.
They need this defensive midfielder. They've obviously brought in Andre Santos.
These midfielders, aren't they?
Yeah, Tielemans as well. But they do need that sort of Casemiro type.
Mm.
The sort of the sweep everything up. And Tchouaméni, like, 26 years of age? Like, perfect age.
Yeah, 26. Yeah.
This would be huge. The rumour a few weeks ago was that Tchouaméni wasn't going anywhere. But so maybe if Mourinho wants Rodri.
The existing, Jose Mourinho wants to sign Manchester City and Spain star Rodri. Real Madrid. So the existing Man United midfielders, Bruno Fernandes and Kaby Manu.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
Manuel Ugarte, of course, who's
injured. Picked up an injury in Uruguay.
Yeah.
And obviously Casemiro's gone to into Miami, isn't he?
Yep.
When he got released. And so they got Andre Santos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Andre Santos.
Yeah. And they got,
and Tielemans.
Tielemans, yeah.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
They signed Carl Darlow as well, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of goalkeepers in the movie.
Goalkeepers,
All right, lovely stuff.